You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show, right here on AfterBuzzTV.com. Season 6, Episode 3, called Trash Talking, appropriately so, because that's pretty much all they ever do on the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Filling in this week, I'm Bobby DeMuro. Next to me, also filling in, is Anna Koppel. And at the end of the panel, on her very first AfterBuzz show ever, I hope she's wonderful. I can't call her wonderful. We don't know yet. Christina Kaplan.
You'll find out, though.
Hopefully you don't trash talk as much as the girls on Real Housewives of New Jersey. So
I
welcome.
It's really hard to compete with them. I don't even know.
Well, Christina, pick a girl right now. So are you team Teresa, Teresa, Nicole? Who's your girl on this season?
Honestly, I'm team Dina. Ooh. I love her, and I'm so glad that she's back, and I think she looks great.
She does look great.
She looks beautiful. I mean, compared to the rest of the Manzo family. I mean, I just had to throw that out there.
Wow, shots fired. You, my friend, are going to fit right in on AfterBuzz.
Great. Yeah, no, I love Dina, and I love her whole, oh, I'm so zen. You know, let's throw some rocks in the lake to decide where you're going to go to college with her daughter. Like, and whatever happens, happens. You know, she's great. I'm happy she's back.
I'm actually glad you brought up Dina, because let's talk about her right now, because she's really not going to function into any of our topics this week, because she didn't do very much. I don't mean to be critical, but knowing the housewife pedigree in New Jersey, and knowing these women are not, no offense, they're not PhDs. Let's call it what it is, they're not PhDs. New York University is an incredible school. Do you think Dina's daughter had a shot at getting in at NYU? Like, she applied early decision. Was she the first one they rejected, or what?
Probably in the top 10, I would say. I mean, and that's just being honest.
I don't know anything about her, but she's not picking between NYU and Columbia and Stanford. Like, let's get real.
Right.
She's going to, like, Iona next year.
Yeah.
let's be real about it. Let's not lie.
I don't know. We haven't seen her in a while, so who knows? She could have spent all of this time off of reality TV just studying. I don't, who knows?
Do you really believe that, though?
No, not for a second, but we'll see.
Anyways, maybe we'll hit Dina later on, but there is one person I want to get started with. You can't talk New Jersey unless you talk Teresa. Whether it's Giudice or Giudice is a debate in and of itself that we can have later, but what about Fabulicious? When you talk Teresa and all of her products and all of her things, now first off, I don't mean to be pessimistic, but she said it. The lawyer bills are adding up. She's paying lawyers a lot of money. She's about to be paying them a lot more. She needs the money. She needs to lay out products. So, of course, she has a little photo shoot and a fun day with the family and with the friends to eat some Fabulicious food, right? Why not? And Melania is turned up.
I don't know where to start with this. Would you like to start?
Sure. She is a brat. I mean, honestly, I was sitting there watching and I'm like, really? Like, Teresa's not going to say anything. She's telling this person, get your dirty hands off me. Like, you're a butthole. That's your new name. I was shocked.
When was the first time you said butthole? Were you 7 years old?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
Maybe. Probably, I was probably 5, actually, to be honest.
Lord.
No. I don't think. And even if I would have said that at 7, my mom would have been like, you do not speak like that, and reprimanded me right away. She just kind of laughed it off and ignored it.
Yeah, they seem to be very amused by Melania being just a terrible child. And I've seen Teresa on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, and Andy's like very amused. He's like, Melania, I got my Melania hair care product. And it's like, why are you encouraging this? She's a terrible child. Awful.
I can't wait to see in 10 years. Talk about predictions. Let's do one. Yeah. I can't wait to predict where Melania is in 10 years, because look at, like, Kendall and Kylie Jenner, who kind of grew up in reality TV a little bit, even though they weren't as big on that show, and now they're kind of age. Melania grew up as a baby on reality TV, and this is all she's ever known. So what does that mean? What is this life going to do to this girl in 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, if Joe Giudice is going away, Melania's going to college for sure. That girl is going to be on the pipe. She's in trouble. But that girl is in trouble.
You have to look at the rest of her siblings, too. Like, Gia is, I thought she was so extremely... you know, grown up for, she's 13, I think, right?
Right.
And she's like, Mom, you know, I can't comprehend, I understand what's going on, you know, she seems so mature. And then Adriana is the littlest one, I think.
Yeah.
So sweet. And then, okay, what happened to Melania? She's like the complete opposite.
Well, you bring up a good point, and it all falls under the same umbrella of terrible parenting. And everybody has their own family roles, but there's this little girl who, and I'm sorry to like jump all over the place here, and Bobby, maybe you'd help rein us back in, you know, she has this fabulous party where everybody's tasting desserts and whatever. And was it Adriana who goes up and asks her, you know, Mommy, why are you crying? What's mm-hmm. wrong? And she's like, oh, I'm not sad. I'm happy. I'm so happy because I have you. And this is like a terrible mixed message to send to a child, which is, you know, don't rely on the things you see around you and, you know, shove your emotions down, down, down. So yeah. Far you can't see them anymore. But it's all, you know, all children take on, especially with multiple siblings, children will take on those different family roles. And so, you know, G is going to sort of like step back and be logical. Melania is going to be the out of control one. Adriana is going to be the caretaker. I mean, you know. And we get to watch it all unfold. It's great.
I will say, though, you say terrible parenting, and I'm not going to debate you because we have seen Teresa do a lot of stuff. As a parent and just as a person, Teresa's a little questionable sometimes. But in another scene today, when Adriana drops that vase or whatever that was and everything shatters, and it was during either this fabulous party or their next gathering, well, how does Teresa react? Very calmly, very cool, very mature, when I would have expected her to flip out or something, already being under so much stress. So I think as much as we give Teresa... As much as we don't cut her slack for the way she is, and we shouldn't, there are times when she turns out to be a pretty understanding and mature and calm parent who I think really truly does love her kids first and foremost.
I'm going to debate you on this, and here's why. I'm going to say, you know, today we saw the vase shatter and she's calm about it. Yeah, because it's like the least of her concerns anymore.
She's going to federal prison.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I'll recall from past seasons where all we can hear is her screaming at the girls for, you know, the wrong ribbons in their hair or something. They've got to get out the door. So, I'm just going to call least of her concerns so she's more patient with that.
I do agree with you because maybe that was just one shining moment of motherhood for her, because if you did, you know, watch all of the other seasons, she's always like, Melania, don't do that, you know, screaming at everyone. So maybe it was just, you know, that one moment that we all got to see.
Well, but then it would have to be two moments if we're going to say that about screaming at Melania, because this episode she did not scream at Melania.
True.
Which is not good parenting. You need to discipline your kids. But she didn't have that typical anger and that typical yelling. So maybe she is changed, or she's completely preoccupied with federal crime.
I think that's it. I think she has so many other concerns on her mind that whatever her kids do is... whatever. She's just like, you know what? If you break a vase, it's fine.
She's in trouble, man. Not to comment about the case because it wasn't on. She's in trouble. The federal government doesn't come after you and then drop indictments unless they know what's happening. Right. And Joe is not an American citizen. So I don't know what the rules are with a conviction or whatever, but either he'll be convicted and go to jail or he will be deported and will not be allowed back in this country if you're convicted of something like that. So she has huge problems. Now, maybe they move to Italy and they become the Real Housewives of, you know, Venice. I don't know. But she does have bigger problems and bigger fish to fry than a vase dropping, I guess.
Right.
That food at Fabulous look pretty decent, though, huh?
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, where do we stand on her calling out Kathy, her cousin Kathy, and saying that a dessert line's never going to run and it was a stupid idea or whatever, and now she has a dessert line? I mean...
it just seems very Teresa, you know, she's quick to judge everyone else, but, oh, when the going gets tough and she's like, okay, you know, I really need to make some more money, let's try desserts, why not? I haven't done it yet, you know, and it's very contradicting, and I think she has that kind of outlook on a lot of things.
And she said it straight up. She said, I need to make money, I have lawyer bills. So mm-hmm. I think it's totally opportunistic of her. And Teresa's definitely not being above being two-faced and hypocritical. That's like what she does.
Exactly.
Like, you wouldn't watch a show if she didn't.
Right. And I think it's actually going to be more successful than Kathy's. Kathy might have the better desserts, but I think, you know, Teresa already has the brand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, say what you will about Teresa, and I'm sure Kathy had great desserts. Kathy was boring.
Right.
I hate to say it, and there's a reason she's not on the show anymore. Kathy was boring. Teresa is not. And that whole Fabulicious thing and the Melania hair care and all that stuff, it just works. Whether or not it's good, it works.
Yep.
So yeah. hopefully she's paying some damn good lawyers. That's all I can say.
Oh.
I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for her.
I think she's, both of them are just, there's really no silver lining to this situation. I mean, like you said before, if the federal government is coming after you, it's pretty bad.
To talk about Joe, because we're talking about Teresa, we don't see as much of Joe now as we have in the past. He's been a little more involved specifically with episodes. And when we see him now, he's very quiet. In this episode, he was very quiet. And I know we had a couple scenes talking about Jimmy, who we'll talk about in a second. But can you just almost, like, smell the fear on Joe? He knows what's about to happen. And he can put up the front with Teresa and say, we're tough and we're a couple. And thank you, family. And thank you, friends, for being around us. It's all BS. I got to call BS on it. That dude is terrified.
Yeah.
He knows what's coming.
No, I agree. He's definitely terrified. But I disagree with you that he's more quiet. I thought he was a lot more vocal this season than past. I mean, he's... In the past, he's always like, oh, yeah, yeah, well, yeah. You know, just mumbling. That's all you hear from him. But he gave that whole speech. Not that it was very, you know, intellectual or anything. But I think it was episode 2 at Christmas in front of his family. And I felt like he just opened up a lot more and is talking a lot more than previous seasons.
I feel like in season 5, I guess, was the big one for him when he kind of opened up more when Rosie was around a little bit more. And I hope we see a lot more of her. But that sort of whole family relationship brought him out. And maybe in season 6 it could certainly happen too. And the speech is a good point. But I just, like, I see the fear on him. And it's like when you do something wrong or you know you did something wrong, and nothing of this magnitude, but you just kind of are paralyzed with fear for a second or paralyzed with nerves and stuff. And you just know something's going to happen. That looks to me like what he's living his life as every day. He's got to be not sleeping. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
You know, and as much as we, like, make fun of Housewives, I really got to have empathy for him. If he's guilty of something, you have to pay the price. But I got to have empathy for somebody who's got to go through this feeling like that with his kids. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Nobody wins. There is no silver lining.
Totally. For a man, too, it's kind of like he's supposed to, I'm sure he feels this whole feeling of, I'm supposed to provide for my family, and what happens if I am gone and they're left with Teresa to provide? I mean, I don't know how much this dessert book is really going to make. Hopefully, for her sake, enough to support the family. But that house, I can't imagine the bills are very cheap. It's huge.
Yeah.
So just that alone. And then I'm sure they don't want to give up their champagne lifestyle, even though they might need to be on a beer budget right now. But so I think that probably it's a shot to his manhood, definitely,
and
going through this.
It's totally cultural. In this Italian culture, in New Jersey, in this way, you know, who I can't remember who it was today was talking about, you know, I agree with the women's liberation movement, but, like,
Amber.
I want to be. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's that's just part of the culture. And we can roll our eyes and laugh at that. But for better or worse, the man providing for the family is a part of that culture. And we have very strong women on this show, but that doesn't mean a lot of them don't want a man to provide, Teresa probably included.
They have strong personalities. I wouldn't say necessarily strong in the whole business aspect.
Yeah.
'Cause I don't think, I mean, besides Teresa's cooking line.
Well, don't forget about Melissa's singing career.
Right, okay. Singing. Dina has her, she has the fund, a charity for cancer where they put together, like, parties and stuff for kids. What else? I guess Caroline was doing the brownstone. She's not on anymore, so I guess she doesn't really matter.
And we had Jacqueline's husband, doesn't matter anymore, but he had the water company or whatever.
Right, but Jacqueline
didn't
do
anything. But she wasn't involved.
Yeah,
she wasn't involved.
So I think the personalities are strong, but the whole, just like what Amber said, oh yeah, you know, I'm all for feminism and independence, but I just like being a wife.
Yeah.
It's like, I think all of them have that same thought.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure, like, feminists would see that and just want to go through the roof, but there's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, whatever, but that's just the way that culture is. And it's part of why we like to kind of have a eye into it, look in the window for it for an hour every Sunday night. Let's move on to Amber. Speaking of her, we have written on our big board when we do topics here, Amber, Jimmy, liars.
In capitals.
In capitals and underlined. Everybody's lying. Bobby's lying or lying by omission. Reno was lying. And Amber and Jimmy are both lying. Anna, you are adamant that Jimmy is lying here. I'm on Team Jimmy. You disagree with me.
He just strikes me as a liar, because he's going around saying that, you know, he can't hang out with Joe, whatever, because he's working with the state prosecutors or whatever. I thought he was like the manager of a bank branch. I didn't know that that automatically meant that he works with the state prosecution.
I took it to mean, and listen, I'm no expert on mortgage-backed securities. I may look like it, but I don't actually know what I'm talking about. I took it to mean as because he's the president of a mortgage securities company, that these guys nowadays post, you know, all these big banking scandals, I guess they have so much more oversight that they all work with the DOJ to make sure mortgages are clear and clean. And he may not be specifically partnered with the DOJ, but he must deal with the Department of Justice all the time. So,
but you just nailed it. He doesn't deal specifically with the Department of Justice. Look, I bank with Wells Fargo, but that doesn't mean that I specifically deal with the Department of Justice.
No, I understand that, but this is a little bit different. And I think he must work with the DOJ to look at mortgages and to make sure that the mortgages that come through his company are not fraudulent. And because of that, when you start talking about hanging out with a guy who's being accused of mortgage fraud on a large scale, I think to him it looks like a conflict of interest. And I know to a lot of people, especially the guys on the show at Guys Night, it probably looked oversensitive, and they don't know the whole story. But had they known it, it probably would have been oversensitive. I think it's the prudent thing to do for the president of a mortgage company to not muddy the waters between those two.
And I agree with you, and I completely understand. But to say I work with the Department of Justice, I feel like is a lie. To say I'm, like, partnered with them, we're on the case, I don't know. I feel like it's a lie. I feel like he's a lying liar face. And he and his wife, Amber, lie about things. We can get into Amber in a minute, but I just want to, like, say right now, I think he's a liar.
Amber is a piece of work. And we do know he lies because he's going to lie to Amber about the kids having McDonald's.
Right.
He's not going to tell her they had McDonald's. Establishes a pattern of lying.
Right.
Convicted in the court of Anna Koppel.
Boom. Thank you. I can use you in my
gavel.
Corner.
I think he might maybe in this case not necessarily be lying, but trying to make himself seem more important than he really is. Like, yes, okay, you're a president of this company. That's great. But maybe they don't directly deal with you. And maybe if they do, they're just consulting you saying, oh, what do you think of this document? What does it look like? And he's trying to act like, oh, I'm, you know, Mr. High and Mighty. I'm directly with the DOJ. I can, you know, bring down the hammer of the law on you, like all this kind of stuff to just pump himself up.
And all of these people, it's all about status, which is why
exactly.
We love it. But remember what Amber said to Melissa when Melissa was like, what does your husband do? Is Jim a lawyer? And she, what did she say? She goes, no, he's the president and CEO of a mortgage company. If it was just his job, he'd just be like, nah, he runs a mortgage company, or he founded a mortgage company. She gave the actual two titles. It always kills me when somebody refers to themselves as the president and CEO.
Right.
Like, okay, bro, like come off it a little bit. But that's the attitude that Amber and Jimmy take. And maybe you're right about that idea that this is status for them. And so he kind of wants to be the big dog with Bobby. And don't think that this is not coincidental. Of all the guys on this show, and Rosie, she's one of the guys, Jimmy is the physically the smallest. So don't think that that doesn't play in a role for him. When with these guys who are hyper-masculine, they all, you know, eat whatever, but they all look like they kind of lift weights and they're strong men.
Yeah.
Jimmy's the smallest guy. He works at kind of a dorky job, you know, mortgages. So maybe he wants to kind of cowboy up a little bit. And this is one way to do it, is drop the DOJ.
Right. That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but now that you bring it up, it's true. Pretty much every other guy is either yoked, like both Joes.
That's,
you know,
a great phrase.
Right?
Yoked.
They're yoked. They're huge. I mean,
do the face one more time.
Yoked. You know? They're small in stature, but they're huge. And
they're thick and rich on top.
Exactly. Yeah. That is a great example.
I don't know about you two.
No, and then Bobby.
Bobby.
Yeah.
Come
that's
on,
right.
How do you forget his
that's
name?
Right, because you said come he on. Gives a bad name to Bobby's everywhere.
Exactly. Listen, man, Joe Gorga is my guy. But I got to ask, and I know that we know this stuff, but how tall are all these men? Joe and Joe each have to be about 5'5".
Right.
There's no way they're taller than that, right? Nothing's wrong with that, but I'm just saying they're what did you say? They're thick and rich?
They're thick and rich on top.
What does that mean?
They look exactly like they do. They're like small guys. They're not fat, but they're just like thick and rich on top.
Okay.
Great explanation.
Perfect. And they're yoked, which is another explanation,
yes.
I'm learning about right now. Okay, before we get to Amber, real quick with Jimmy. When Jimmy didn't show up to bowling, first off, God love her, Rosie did show up. all-star, first team All Housewives, player of the year, Rosie. I love that woman. And I love how Guys Night Out, Rosie shows up. And I also love how no one questions it. Reno meets her and he's like, she's going to be my friend. She's awesome. Because she is awesome.
He said, Rosie's my chick. My chick. Like, he was like stoked on her. It was awesome.
Rosie's yoked too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty yoked.
Rosie's got a blue e-cigarette now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a new Rosie now comes with accessory.
She's in with the trend, you know.
Yeah.
Staying up to date.
Maybe, you know those e-cigarette commercials we've seen with whoever the actor was? Maybe Rosie does an e-cig commercial.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A black and white, real sexy, almost like a Calvin Klein type ad, but yeah. It's Rosie.
Way better than Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But what about this bowling? Because it kills me. The lie that Bobby tells. First off, I think it was Teresa and Nicole who were talking about this, and I can't remember which is which. Nicole is dating Bobby and Teresa is the one who's married, or is it flipped?
I wrote it down.
Because those,
I was confused.
I'm going to be confused all season about those two.
Okay, Nicole is the one who's dating. Teresa is married.
So I got it. Okay, I got it right. Yep. Nicole and Bobby, which is cool because in college I dated a girl named Nicole. I'll never forget this now.
Wow.
There we go. Nicole and Bobby. Okay. I hope she's not watching. So Nicole and Teresa mentioned that when Bobby went to bowling to tell everybody why Jimmy wasn't there, Nicole gave this crappy reason like, oh, well, Jimmy never said not to say anything. Really? Really?
Yeah.
All you want to do is stir up gossip, and that's why you're on the show anyways, but that's not the way a human lives. You don't just tell everybody everything all the time. Have a little bit of discretion. Maybe you are a homewrecker, Nicole, because you do anything you want all the time. I know I'm jumping ahead with that. But because of that, Bobby tells this awkward story about like, oh, well, Jimmy didn't want to see you fight Joe and Joe because he hates fighting. It's like, that doesn't even sound true. And right. And it called him on it. Like, that's not even the truth. What's
yeah,
going on?
I think it was Joe Gorga was like, well, that doesn't even sound like a good excuse. Like, he was like, no, that's not, that can't be true. But it was a horrible excuse. He should have either just not said anything at all, just said, oh, you know, Jimmy's busy. You could just say that. Why bring, you know, of course, I shouldn't say why bring that in. They want to cause drama everywhere they go. So obviously that's why, you know, he knew they would question it.
As an adult, let me put you guys in Jimmy's shoes. Let's assume the DOJ thing is true or true enough with the conflict of interest. As an adult, what would you have done if you were Jimmy? Because I can tell you what I would have done.
For the instance of Guys Night Out?
Yes.
Honestly, I probably would have said, oh, you know, I'm busy. And maybe I would have told Bobby, you know, I just feel like this wouldn't be right for me and my job, but don't say anything. I would have told, you know, don't say anything. If you're my friend, just let's just say I'm busy and leave it at that.
I would have gone right to Joe Giudice and I would have said, listen, I'm sure you're a great person. Here's my situation. I can't have this seem like a conflict of interest. In another life, I'd love to get to know you, but I can't be seen with you with all due respect, you know, whatever. And being now, this is Housewives of New Jersey, so that's not going to happen.
Right.
But you should have been open in the first place.
Well, I think that's still, like, if his excuse is real.
Yeah.
I think that would still create a conflict of interest, because if he's making private calls, he's, like, making, you know, a direct call. Like, what is this call about, and how do we ever, you know, unless he's recording it. It's just as simple to say, I can't make it, you know, please accept my regrets.
Right.
But do that every time? Like, what if Guys Night Out happens again next week?
Yeah. He shouldn't have signed up for the show.
That's true.
Because this lawsuit has been going on for a while.
Right.
And I'm sure he knew going into this that it could be a conflict of interest. So that right there, you know, you can't really use any excuse.
Unless if you were really working with the Department of Justice, they might say, hey, don't sign up for that show because we can't. It's a conflict of interest for you to be on that show while you're working closely with us.
Maybe all this happened. He didn't want to sign up for the show and he didn't. Department of Justice told him not to. And Amber forged his signature because she's hellbent on fame.
That could be a possibility.
Still, I feel like the execs at Bravo would understand and let him out of his contract should he really be working with the Department of Justice.
You would think.
Saying.
Right.
You would think. You just drop the DOJ. I'm going to start doing that to people. You just say DOJ, and I feel like people are like, oh, okay.
Yeah, this is serious.
Because like the FBI is so stereotypical. Like, everybody jokes about the FBI and the CIA. Nobody jokes about the DOJ. So I'm going to drop it on Anna. You'll call me up next week, be like, you want to hang out? No, 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 I got the DOJ with me right here. Can't do it.
The funniest part is, like, me calling you to hang out. It's just never.
Sorry.
Just doing some casual consulting.
Yeah.
By the way, Anna, you're being indicted for federal mortgage fraud. Happy Tuesday.
And we can't do this after show anymore because it's a conflict of interest.
Right. Yeah. See?
All right. Let's talk about... Let's stay with Amber, actually. The breast cancer issue and then kind of everything else that goes on with her. Before the breast cancer, let's talk about something funny. What's funny? Did I say breast cancer issue? Is that what's funny?
No, it just... I'm so much. Go on.
You're just so excited.
I'm so happy to be here, you guys.
It's like you're accepting an award speech.
Yeah.
So many people I like to thank for guesting on the Housewives show.
My life is just so much better than hers. I'm so rare I can say that about people.
There's not many people I feel like I can say that about, but a lot of the Housewives I can.
Yeah. Almost universally.
Maybe not financially, but in every other aspect.
Listen,
yes.
Man, these are $30,000 millionaires. They're faking it.
I'm not even kidding. Yeah, no, it's true.
My brother has a saying, money talks and wealth whispers. These people are not wealthy because they don't whisper. They yell. Okay, yes. Everything is gaudy. So these are $30,000 millionaires.
Some of them are being indicted by the federal government for fraud.
Or pretending like they had more than they really did.
Official hashtag of the after show is hashtag at least I'm not Joe Giudice. It's like a 70-character hashtag, but it works in most situations. No matter how bad your day is, at least you're not Joe Giudice.
Right.
Let's talk about Amber now. Amber, before the breast cancer issue, let's talk about those commercials with the patented hair flip.
Oh, that her daughter's already upstaging her.
Oh, gosh.
What do you guys think of my little...
I think you need more hair.
I do need a lot more hair. Nothing's moving.
I could probably do it.
The smile made it at the end. I'm pretty sure you just sold somebody a mortgage. There you go. So these commercials, and at least Jimmy knows they're hokey because he says he wants to continue with the hokey theme. I think it's pretty cute to involve the family in the commercials. Why not? Those kids are cute.
Yeah. You know, the little girl is adorable.
He's got a heck of a family. Yes. Why not? But Amber, she's with Melissa having drinks, and one of the things she drops on her, Melissa's like, what are you doing recently? She's like, oh, I've been into a lot of acting. What sort of stuff? I'm doing a lot of commercials. No, you're not. You're doing your husband's commercials.
I loved that. I just sat there laughing because I was like, that is so great because she's trying to act like she's doing some serious acting.
And Melissa bought
it. Been in a couple commercials, and the whole everyone watching is like, we know what you're talking about there. Your family commercials. That's not acting.
And she opens with, I've been doing a lot of acting. And Melissa's like totally going to go and be supportive. Yeah. Oh, like what? Oh, just like a lot of commercials.
That'd be cool in LA if you're doing national commercials. When you're in New Jersey doing the local hair flip ad that they're probably filming on like their own little flip camera, it's not as cool.
And by the way, you weren't even hired to do that. That is your husband's mortgage. Yeah.
What was the audition like? Tell us about the audition process, Amber.
She probably said, I'm in this commercial.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Her daughter's upstaging her now. And I wonder if the Department of Justice okayed her being in that. They're lying. Their whole family. It's just a bunch of liars.
We should actually probably stop talking about the DOJ because the NSA, to use more acronyms, probably has like a keyword filter on everything that goes on the web. And we've said DOJ enough times, we've been flagged and the three of us are going to get audited or something
we'll get a letter in the mail in about 2 days.
I would love if the DOJ was watching this. Are you kidding me? Somebody at the DOJ has to watch this whole after show on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Amazing.
We'll talk about the DOJ again at the end of the episode and what you guys think about that. But Amber, okay, let's do the breast cancer thing because this was an interesting idea and I picked up on it. And I know you guys did too, but Teresa, when she broke down with Adriana, which by the way, Dina and Adriana, the godmother relationship, very cool. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was the one other time we saw Dina really. But when Teresa broke down with Adriana and this whole thing happened and Teresa broke down in front of everybody and Amber was like way extra, way turned up on emotion, over the top. Was she trying to be supportive of Teresa and could just say, I can relate, I had a serious situation too, I understand what it does to your kids? Or was she trying to upstage Teresa?
I definitely think she was trying to upstage. Upstage, or like Dina said, just she wanted to do, you know, tug at Teresa's heartstrings and get her to like her. Because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, is the whole hierarchy of Real Housewives, as you mentioned. And, you know, Teresa is kind of in the upper echelon there. And so maybe as Amber being the new girl, she thought, oh, well, maybe if I share one, you know, intimate emotional story about my life, Teresa and I will have this connection.
Anna, did you catch that? Christina's first show, she picks up on an AfterBuzz tradition, taking my point. Just like a veteran.
But I gave you credit.
Oh, no, you're going to fit right in here. You're going to be just fine here. Everybody takes my points. But no, you're right. And Teresa's the big dog. She gets paid the most money, I believe, still. So you want to suck up to the big dog and get on the good side. It didn't work, though.
Right.
Anna, do you think Amber actually had breast cancer?
I'm not convinced. And here's what, and I know we'll probably catch a lot of comments for this and whatever.
No, I'm
interested. And if she actually did, it's horrible. Here's the thing. I have unfortunately known a lot of people who have gone through cancer, and it's terrible, and it's terrible. I've never gone through it. I can only imagine how horrible it is to go through. It's definitely terrible to watch. I've never known anybody to be going through chemo and take glamour shots. I've never known anybody to like play it like, you know, their card, to just play it every opportunity. It's, I've never known people to use it to like guilt friends years later. It just seems unusual. She's just, and I don't know. I haven't researched her at all, so I can, but I do have questions about it.
I will say the one thing I disagree with you about, it's weird to want to talk about it so much to casual friends to play the card. You're right. But the one thing I disagree about is I like the chemo glamour shots. I think that's a great idea to say, if your hair is part of your identity, however big or small, and you lose it all and you have to grapple with that, to kind of go out and proud and say, I don't have any hair anymore. I'm still beautiful. That part is cool with me.
And I'm totally cool with that. It's usually our people are feeling too sick during that time, too.
Yeah.
So it just seems strange. They had, like, it seemed like a whole studio set up that they were doing, so I don't know. But
this reminds me of that Seinfeld episode, if any of you are Seinfeld fans, where John Lovitz guest stars, and he's constantly guilting George and stuff into the fact that, oh, I had cancer and whatever and blah, blah. And he didn't actually have cancer. He was just bald. Do you guys remember that episode?
I didn't.
So this is a little... This might be a little bit like that. I'm sure it's probably not. I believe that she had breast cancer. I want to think nobody would ever lie about something like that.
You would hope not.
I would hope.
I mean...
Now maybe she did have it, and the severity was such that they caught it very early. It was a relatively easier recovery. And maybe she talks it up like it was a lot worse, and she didn't know maybe the full extent of suffering that another patient would have. And maybe that's the disconnect with her, that she's trying to milk more out of less. But I feel like once you cross the threshold and have it, it's bad enough.
Okay, but maybe here's the thing, is that, like, you know, she's a breast cancer survivor, and I don't see, like, a lot of survivor in her. It's a lot of milking, like, well, when I was sick, when I had cancer, and it's like, why are you living in the, like, when I had cancer part, you know, why stay there? Why marinate in that? And I, you know, why not live in the survival part of it? You know, you do have kids and you do have this beautiful family. Why aren't you there? Why do you keep bringing this up? Like, yeah, I know, and I had the cancer and my life was miserable and this and that. Like, why do you want to live in that place? I don't know.
The psychology of people who get sick is interesting. I don't know anything about it, but there is something in certain people that wants to wallow in sickness, whatever it is, or not take pride in it, but kind of try to get as much as you can out of it. And even if you're legitimately sick, it's this idea of wallowing in it for whatever end she may have. And this may be, in her mind, a relatively easy way to gain sympathy. She's totally new. And we're going to see next week, people don't like her. They have a lot of problems with her on here. Right. So maybe this is her way to try to gain sympathy with people and say, hey, this serious thing happened to me. I hope you're more sympathetic to me and you like me more. And it's that superficial.
I also think it's just maybe... This is also, I guess, maybe rubbing around. It's just oversharing. It's just to, like, meet people right away and just in a room full of people be like, oh, because of my cancer. It's oversharing. It is uncomfortable and it's too much information from a stranger right away.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys felt the same, but when she was talking to Teresa and saying, I know what you're going through, I was thinking to myself, if you really did have cancer, which, I mean, I believe she did, but it's not the same situation at all. She's about to go to prison. You almost died. It's different. I get prison maybe can seem like death to people, but it's totally different. And I do think that she's kind of trying to, you know, get everyone to feel bad for her and kind of milk this sickness as much, like you both have brought it up, you know, and it's kind of, and like you said too, oversharing. Like, I know a couple people that have battled cancer and they don't go around talking about it, you know, and sharing to whoever's around. It was almost like she was like, okay, I'm at this party. There's, you know, however many people here. They're all sitting and listening to me. So I'm going to share this so everyone hears and everyone, you know, will feel bad for me and come be my friend.
But the flip side of it for me, real quick, is this idea of a total lack of empathy by everybody else, though. Whether or not she's lying, whether or not she's oversharing, whatever's going on with her, if you're in a room with somebody who drops a cancer story, is your first reaction to be skeptical and angry and a little bitchy and stuff? No, hopefully not. But the housewife's first reaction is, because everything is a game of hierarchy to these people. And I feel like, I hope I'm a regular enough human that if somebody drops a cancer story on me, I would shut the hell up and listen and try to be supportive, even if I don't know that person, do whatever I can do and show a little bit of empathy. Dina doesn't do it. Teresa doesn't do it. That's non-existent.
But this is because this is the second or third time she's talked about her cancer to these people, and it's they've been in party settings, and because it's hitting us the same way, it's hitting them the same way it's hitting us. It's like, what is the deal here? Why are you? And to your point, that it's not the same thing as going to prison. And I think somebody who has battled or survived cancer would all the more not be saying, oh, this is the same thing. This is like, you know, I was near death. Look at it this way. You know, at least there's that. At least, like, you know what? You're just going to be separated by a wall. Not a big thing. You would think they would have, like, a much more positive outlook or, you know, sort of something more reassuring to say to Teresa than, yeah, I feel you. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Well, Teresa, what Teresa said right after Amber was done with her whole spiel was what I thought was pretty telling right there. She goes, you know, I had cancer, blah, 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 blah. And then Teresa's like, are you okay? Like, instead of saying, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That's horrible. You're doing better now. You know, being, you know, actually feeling empathetic for her. She just was like, oh, are you okay? Like, you know, it was no big deal. So it was kind of like, and I felt it was such an abrupt, like, response to it, too. It was almost like, okay, shut up, you know?
It was almost as if she was responding to somebody saying, I got in a fender bender on the way here. Oh,
yes,
are you okay?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was absolutely like that. Or I got my car broken into the other day. Oh, are you okay?
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, this was cancer.
Right, right.
This warrants a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
It's weird all around. Amber's a little bizarre. Something's going on with her. It's totally weird by Teresa and everybody how they reacted. The whole thing is just like a total war zone. I can't even imagine stepping into something like that. Thank God I'm a boy. That's all I can say. I cannot imagine stepping into something like that. But hey, I love watching it, so whatever.
There you go.
Let's get down to other Teresa, I guess Teresa, technically, and her sister, her twin Nicole, and Melissa. Now, Real Housewives of New Jersey has milked seasons out of this whole Melissa Joe rumor mill thing that never got cleared up. Looks to be cleared up now, at least for the time being. Who knows what's coming up? They milked seasons out of that rumor thing. So it would make sense that they're going to use another rumor to start milking seasons out of Nicole and Teresa if it works, and that's what happens. So Amber, who, again, is really not a likable character thus far in the first couple episodes, drops this little just tidbit of information on Melissa in the car that, oh, Nicole, like, broke up a marriage, like, wrecked a home.
Oh, I just heard it through the grapevine.
Through the grapevine.
Like, okay.
Really? Because I heard through the grapevine you had cancer, Amber. That's what she responded with. That's the other thing that's funny, but I don't mean to go backwards. But Amber tells everybody about her cancer, but Melissa didn't know.
Right.
Weird?
It was weird because Amber claims that Melissa Facebook messaged her and then Amber deleted it so she couldn't show it to Melissa. And, you know, she was like shocked. I can't believe you didn't know I had cancer. Like, offended that Melissa didn't know. And Melissa's like, well, you never called me. How was I supposed to know? You know, so it was that I thought was very strange right there, too.
Well, Amber's reaction, because Melissa said, what cancer? And Amber said, you didn't know? And let's not forget that Amber's been doing a lot of acting. So
very true.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure how to gauge her reaction.
I wonder
but I do think she's a lying liar face.
I wonder if Amber is a method actor.
Then is she?
I wonder if she can even spell method. But so Amber basically drops this rumor on Melissa. And then Melissa turns around. Here's my question for y'all. If you were in Melissa's shoes, you hear this malicious rumor and you're shopping with the girl who the rumor is about, do you come clean and tell the girl knowing it might cause huge problems down the road? Or do you hold it in and not tell the girl knowing it also might cause huge problems down the road?
I think if you really, truly are great friends or used to be great friends with Amber, you wouldn't go out and tell this rumor. But if you, like it seems, don't give, you know, anything about Amber and your friendship and kind of are... it seems like a fake, like she's trying to create a friendship with Nicole and Teresa, but it seems very, like, I don't know, fake to me. So... I guess maybe that's why she outed them, because she really doesn't want to continue the friendship with Amber and, I mean,
also, cause drama. I wonder on what level, and I am not qualified to discuss this because I do not know the inner workings of female friendship, but Teresa and Nicole are so new to the show and kind of new to everyone's life in the same way. Is Melissa trying to win them over as allies by telling them something? Not only does she not care necessarily about Amber, but she says, hey, I don't know how I could use these two girls later, but I want them on my team so that if I need them later, if the proverbial crap hits the fan, they're on my side because I'm, quote, been on their side. Do you think there's any of that going on?
Definitely.
I would be a good girl.
I would.
I didn't just say that. Quick, rescue me, Anna.
Forever. Yeah, but, you know, definitely I think, I can't remember who, maybe Nicole started it or one of them. No, maybe Teresa started it, but one of them started it by saying, you know, the real reason why Jimmy didn't go out is because he's lying. And, you know, Melissa just, like, ate that right up. She was like, well, you know, I heard this about you, too. And so, I mean, it's very, like, low-level functioning. You know, a lot of people create friendships that way. But, like, we both dislike this person. So, you know, friendships are formed that way all the time. But do I think it's wise on her part? No. But it's...
Melissa's got problems, and the first of which is that stupid singing career. But beyond that, Melissa's got problems. The best thing that happened to Melissa, and y'all might disagree with me, is Joe Gorga. God, I love that guy. I love him so much. He's a good, like, he has his faults, but he's a great guy. Let's be honest about that guy. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
And you want to talk about thick and rich on top, am I right?
Oh, yeah.
He's yoked.
He's the thickest and the richest.
Definitely.
He is the most yoked.
Can we talk about their new business for a second?
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
Yeah. So I might have as much confusion as Melissa does, because it's not really trash. How many government documents are they shredding in New Jersey?
You know what I just realized? Maybe this entire Housewives of New Jersey cast are government informants one way or another. You've got Joe and Teresa, wow, who are involved with the federal government on a legal level. You've got Jimmy, who is the DOJ. Okay, he's the top dog at the DOJ. And now you've got Joe, who is shredding government documents. Something doesn't add up. But Rosie, vice president, I'm just saying. If the
vice
shoe
president
fits.
Of awesome. Definitely. But look at the irony of them... starting this company that maybe could have protected Joe Giudice, like, however many months ago by shredding these documents. It seemed very strange that you would invest millions of dollars into this official document shredding business. You know, did you guys pick up on that?
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Can we lay something out right now, right here, today? And I know that we're filling in, so Christina, you'll be dealing with different people next week. But let's just lay something out, and I want to hear some comments on this on YouTube. Is it Giudice or is it Giudice?
It's, okay, if I've heard Teresa and Joe both say Giudice.
Yeah.
But then, didn't you bring up that somebody else on the show said...
I've heard both. From people in the know.
Matt Lauer said Giudice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
Well, I feel like Joe Gorga... always says Giudice. The White Keelys always say Giudice.
Yeah.
Rosie says Giudice. I feel like it's Giudice.
This is what it probably is. It's Giudice, but they want to Italianize themselves a little more. And Giudice sounds sexier because they're more Italian,
definitely,
right? So I'm going to say, I don't know about y'all's vote, but I'm going to call them, you know what? They're going to prison. Life's over for them. Let's give them something. Let's call them Giudice.
Giudice.
Let's give them something.
It sounds way better, too.
It does.
Giudice is just like... okay, it's a strange last name. Giudice. It's like, Giudice. You know, it's very...
You have to do this with your hands.
You gotta use your hands to say it. I would love to have that last name. Too bad they don't have any sons.
I know. Well, that... no comment. You just hold on to that one.
He does have a brother that looks exactly like him.
Wait, ooh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen him.
Oh, well, he looks exactly like him. So you've seen him. You just didn't realize it.
What's his name? Pete, I think?
I can't remember. And I don't know. His dad's relatively young and in good health.
Okay, that was what I was shocked about is the great... Okay, it was Joe's grandma was turning 80, right?
I think it was,
My grandma is 93 and I'm 25, so... That just seemed like, okay, they must have had kids very young. It was just a big age gap there. So maybe, you're right. Maybe his dad is pretty young.
Just saying.
But
just throwing it out there.
But actually, on a serious note, I think his dad passed away because...
Yes.
And rest in peace, Mr. Giudice. We'll give you that.
He did pass away, and I believe the in memoriam was at the end of last episode.
Yes.
Or two episodes ago. No, it was last episode.
The
last
Christmas
week.
One, yes.
Yes. And it would make sense in the filming schedule because when they filmed the medium thing, he had not yet passed away.
Right.
And then after the filming of the medium thing, recently he did. So
yeah. I know, and I picked up on that. I thought that was kind of strange because that was the one thing. Everything else that the psychic was saying seemed pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're going through some law trouble. Well, yes, it's all over the news.
Yeah.
But that was one thing that was kind of strange. Like, okay, he's kind of predicting there that the dad is going to pass away and that Joe's always, you know, still fighting for his approval and whatnot.
Yeah.
That was one thing that I was kind of weirded out about, but they could have gone back and filmed that, you know, to add some extra drama. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Unfortunately, we don't have all night to talk Housewives. I know you're excited. We got a lot of prediction stuff coming up, which will be fun. But before we do that, let's do news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
And because we like to put people on the spot here on AfterBuzz, and because Anna and I just have had it up to here with these darn shows, Christina, on your very first AfterBuzz show ever, you get to give us the news.
Oh, yay. Okay, well, the only news that I really have, I was so interested in finding out what this new feud between Dina and Caroline was that I looked it up online. Because if you noticed, I think it was this episode where the producer or whoever asked, oh, do you feel like you have more of a sisterly bond with Teresa than your own sister? And she's like, I'm not going there. So I was like, all right, I need to figure out what's going on. So from what I gathered, Caroline is on Jacqueline's side because Jacqueline got axed from the show. And so Caroline is upset because Dina is now back on the show. And she thinks that Jacqueline deserves that paycheck more because of her child with autism and to pay for all the medical bills. So that's apparently why they're feuding. And they were saying in this article, too, that I guess the last feud, which I don't know exactly what it was, but it had something to do with Jacqueline as well. So maybe that's the problem.
But I think their feuds also had to do with Teresa somehow.
Yeah. I think Teresa's always a part of everyone's feuds in some way.
Yeah.
They needed to get rid of Jacqueline and Caroline and all those other people. Not necessarily even because of anything they did, although Caroline was not interesting, I'm sorry. They needed to get rid of them because all the storylines that kept popping up with them was that Melissa and Joe, whatever happened in the past, Melissa and Teresa, Joe and Teresa, all that crap. Interesting for like a season. They milked like 3.5 seasons out of that. So it was time to move on.
Totally.
So I do miss Jacqueline's husband, though. And I hope the water company is doing swimmingly.
You guys, I like what you did there. that water, the BLK, this is for, you know, Angelinos. At the Whole Foods in Westwood near UCLA, they sell that water.
I've seen it elsewhere, too.
BLK, that was Caroline's son's boxed water company,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I did see that actually at the Whole Foods on Wilshire and 23rd in Santa Monica as well. And it was like right after that whole episode, and I'm like, hey.
Yeah, like what is this water doing
here? But did you buy some?
No, I did not.
Neither did I.
Well, I live in the ghetto in Arlington Heights, so there's no bottled water around me. It's just tap water.
You mean boxed water.
No boxed water, yeah, excuse me.
Special.
Even a little more.
One of my friends gave her daughter a boxed water, not BLK, but a different one the other day, and I was like, what's the difference? Like, I don't get it, really. And she's like, well, you know, the plastic has all these whatever toxins. I don't even know what it emits, but apparently boxed water is better for you health-wise. So
true that.
Maybe he was onto something.
True
yeah.
that.
I could send you a whole article. Yeah.
That would be great.
Many articles.
Not even like a paragraph. A whole article.
Many articles.
So it's
yeah.
true then. So we should invest in BLK.
Well, we should invest in not drinking out of plastic bottles.
All right.
How about
doctor?
Glass?
What?
Glass bottle?
Glass is good.
Okay,
You
cool.
know, it's better.
All right.
Maybe cups just like this. Maybe we should all buy AfterBuzz TV mugs.
Definitely.
Wow.
From the store.
You took this from a public health thing to a total pitch for AfterBuzz TV
That's
mug.
Why they keep me around.
But we should all drink it at the same time.
All right. As they drink, let's get to predictions, guys.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
My first prediction is Phil in the engineering room over there is going to give Anna a hefty raise for her her shouting out AfterBuzz mugs. Am I right, Phil?
Oh, yeah.
That big, huh? All right, predictions. What do you think, guys? I know it's tough with a show like this because you read a lot in the media, but let's have a little fun. What's going to happen this year?
Well, this year or next episode?
This season. Or next episode or the season as a whole.
And
listen, you're new. Make them big.
Oh, okay.
Make them big. Just trust me.
Don't
trust me. It's more fun.
But no pressure.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay, well, now I really have to think. No, I think next episode... We already saw the previews of this party. Whose party is that again?
Somebody's fireman party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Bobby's.
First responder.
Right? Okay, that was weird. Like, you're saying you want to bring awareness to the first responders, yet they're dressing up in slutty, like, cop and firefighter outfits. It's kind of confusing. But, no, I think that the fight between the twins and...
Amber.
Amber might... go to blows next week or next episode. You know, like they might actually, fists might fly.
Listen, back
I could see it with those the little twins are so feisty, you know?
Back when reality TV had some honor, of course I'm talking about like Real World Road Rules Challenge type stuff. You guys remember
that
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever somebody laid their hands on another person, it was period, end of story, you're off the show.
Yep.
And we've got to a point in reality TV, remember on Real Housewives of Atlanta, how long it took to kick some of them off the show, Portia specifically, for repeated acts of violence. So I want to say, like, if they get in a physical fight, somebody's going to get kicked off. No, they won't.
No.
Like we are so far beyond that physical fight rule that, like, everybody's staying on and they want to fight every week now.
And prediction, Amber will be the type of fighter that's like, hold me back. Hold me back.
Totally.
These bitches don't want to see what I got.
I think we saw that in the preview, though, is her husband's, like, dragging her out.
And then she's going to put her hair up.
Real tough.
Take out her whatever earrings. If they're hoops, got to take those out.
And real tough to get held back by Jimmy. I think a 4-year-old could get held back by Jimmy. Right?
I mean, come on. Jimmy needs to hit the weight room.
He does
Let's
need to
honest.
Hit the weight room. I predict that, I don't know when and I don't know how, but I predict we see Anna Koppel on more Real Housewives of New Jersey episodes in the future.
I mean, we could only hope.
Lord knows we dragged her out of the, we dragged her out of the cave for this one, guys. Thanks for letting us fill in on this. As we get going, social media links, plugs, whatever's going on. Christina, where can they find you?
You can find me at Tina Kapp.
Tina Kapp on
yeah.
Twitter.
You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And in a non-Housewives story, I am releasing this week a documentary on Skid Row, a homeless district here in Los Angeles. I followed an AfterBuzz host. We filmed an amazing documentary. That will be released this week, so follow me on Twitter, at Bobby DeMuro, if you want to watch that thing. It is not a Housewife-like product, but it's very interesting. That's it this week on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Thanks for letting us fill in. Christine, I guess you're here for the long haul from now on.
I don't know. So. I think I was a fill-in as well.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, well, thanks for letting everybody fill in this week. I assume the normal host will be back next week. If they're not, it looks like it's going to be the three of us.
Oh, yeah.
See you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.